Frederica Johnson. No. Frederica Tall Johnson.
And you were born when?
October the 4th, 1910.
And you've always lived around La Grande.
I'll say so, John, because I'm going to go on 3 months.
Uh-huh. Well, when you first started to school, you started school up...
at the ranch, at a private school.
Uh-huh.
They had a teacher come in.
And there were how many students?
There was Marjorie Condit and Lester and Winnie and myself. And Edith.
Uh-huh. Edith.
My sister.
Your sister.
And they had to have four people, a four-party line, and a four, we had to have so many children in the school.
Uh-huh.
So that's what they had. This girl came in the State of Congress and taught us kids at our house.
And that's up on what they call the Starkey Road, the turnoff from Hillgard.
Yeah, that's 244 down.
Uh-huh. And you went, how many years?
Well, then we went to school at Hillgard.
Uh-huh.
The folks bought a little house there in Hillgard, and we lived there. And,
what grade were you in when that?
About second grade.
Uh-huh.
Then we moved out to Uncle Garrett's.
And what year?
No, we moved to Grandma and Grandpa Tall there where the swimming pool, the city buildings are here now. You know, they used to have their house there.
Which used to be the swimming pool,
mm-hmm.
Crystal Plunge.
Mm-hmm.
And what grade were you in when
I
you moved to town?
I was in the third grade there.
Uh-huh.
And then we went from there to Uncle Garrett's, and we went to Fruitdale School.
Uh-huh.
And Hoffman is the teacher, was that it, Darwich Huffman?
Yes.
It was the teacher.
And Garrett's ranch was up Owsley Canyon?
Yeah, up there, that Shaw's got it now.
Uh-huh.
It was the last place you could see in the canyon, and tore that house down and moved it up here in the old town someplace and put it back up.
Uh-huh. And what grade were you in when you moved from the Fruitdale School? Where did you go then?
Fruitdale. We come to Greenwood.
To Greenwood.
And I graduated out of 8th grade right at Greenwood School.
Uh-huh. And at that time then you went up to high school at La Grande High School.
That's right.
And
I graduated, but I can't remember what year it was.
Uh-huh.
Must have been around about, I don't know, I was 18. I was born in 10.
Uh-huh.
That's when I graduated up here at this high school.
I'd have to look that up.
1910.
Was there anything really significant that happened to you when you went to school? Fond memories? Or things that...
The funniest thing that I could ever remember, John, that happened, or is Les Keffer, you know him.
Yes.
And Johnny Groove. And a boy by the name of Dale Charlton. Now this Dale Charlton, mother and grandma, no, excuse me, aunt and uncle lived right up here on the corner of 2nd and Jefferson.
Uh-huh.
And they raised this kid. Well, it come round that time. And it was over there at Greenwood School. And when noon come, there's a train going out of here going to Pendleton. And them boys was going to the roundup. And Mrs. Roach decided they weren't going. Les Keffer took a hold of that old lady and shook her, pushed her out of the way, and them kids, all three, went to the roundup. And I'll never forget that. Every time I used to go to the store up there, Les and I'd laugh about it.
And they went on the...
They went.
Hitched a ride on the train.
Well, they had their tickets.
And they they had a ticket.
Yeah, and they went to the roundup.
Uh-huh.
No, doggone
it. Did you have any particular friends while you were going to school?
at the grade schools we didn't jump because we were too out of far. You know, I like Uncle Garrett's place we didn't. We just knew people.
Uh-huh.
And then Marjorie, her folks lived here in town.
Marjorie Condon.
Yeah.
Yes.
And her and Rossi was such good friends. And I would go sometimes with her to Rossi's.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then there's
which
another,
is our house. Yeah. There,
and then there's another girl that was an awfully good friend of Marjorie and Rossi. Her name was Gwendolyn Buchanan.
Uh-huh.
Did you remember her?
I've heard the name.
Now, like, you go up the corner of the inn, isn't it? And you go up to the hospital there off of 4th uh-huh. Street. She lived the third house on that side there, on the inn. Her name was Gwendolyn Buchanan.
Yeah. Well, then, when you graduated from high school and got your diploma, what were you going to do with your life?
Well, I was working, waiting tables, doing everything.
Where were you working?
Well, I've been in the rack of my brain. I see what's there now. You know where Graham Drugstore was
yes.
at first, that
uh-huh.
little place on that side over there by Falls.
Uh-huh.
Well, I worked there.
Uh-huh.
And they had an ice cream fountain there, and I worked in that.
Yeah.
Then, I was staying with my Aunt Nell. She lived out over here where Al's Market used to be,
uh-huh.
Quarter Second.
Quarter Line.
And Bushing. Out there for the recycle plant is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The one here where you take your cans and stuff.
Right.
Right next to the railroad track then, there was a big apple plant. And they made cider and vinegar there.
Yeah.
And I worked there.
That was out where the old flour mill was.
Yeah,
there,
across the street on, the
on Willow Street, right across the railroad.
Yeah, right there mm-hmm. on that corner was mm-hmm. that vinegar factory, and I worked there. Then, by that time, the Mount Emily Lumber Company came into Starkey, and Lester and Winnie got acquainted with my husband.
Uh-huh. That was your brother's.
Yeah.
Got acquainted with your husband.
And, of course, they kept coming, and they'd come down to the folks' and stay all night. The folks still lived at the ranch, but they'd come on into town and come down to Aunt Nell's, and we'd all go to the shows, we'd go to the dances, and that's where I met my husband.
Uh-huh.
Then, I left, and we went to Pendleton, and I was there 3 months, and we got married and moved back to Mount Emily.
Up at Mount Emily Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That was in 34. September of 34 is when I went to work there.
And what did your husband do for Mount Emily Camp?
He was a truck mechanic. No. He was a, I don't know how I'm supposed to say this, John. There was a survey crew for all these roads.
Uh-huh.
And he was head chain man, they called him.
Yeah, usually chain and rod,
yeah,
where they're marking. Uh-huh.
Then, it was in the winter months, very hard times, camp was shut down, and they put him on a loader, loading logs out of the decks, right there at the river camp where we live, at that uh-huh. deck. And they jerked him off the end of that train, and he lost his leg.
So he had an accident that...
And then he was down here for 6 months in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And when about a year later, he was able to go to work. And he went a mechanic at Starkey.
Uh-huh.
And him and I run that river camp truck barn.
Yeah. Now, when he was injured, he was told that he would have a job for the rest of his life.
Yeah, which
but
he did not have.
When they sold the mill, Augustine sold the mill, that ended that.
Yeah, terminated.
And he spent a lot of time going back and forth to Portland
yeah.
because of his leg being cut off so short.
Well, we averaged about once a month, sometimes for a couple of months.
Uh-huh.
But it was so short, John, that And then he had to wear these special lamb's wool socks.
Uh-huh.
And it was so short, it was just almost too short to put a limb on it without, you know, having some sink extra. And it blistered so. And we had to keep going down there and had to keep doing things inside that socket.
Well, it must have been hard during those times because it was right after the Depression. And now, with Bruce Moorhead up at camp, was he a lot of help to the residents that lived there?
Well, they was very nice to me because I worked at the cookhouse.
Uh-huh.
But at the time that Oscar lost his leg, it was the saddest mess I ever had. I'd only been out of Grand Island Hospital myself 3 days with a major surgery.
Uh-huh.
And when they come, they're getting me at the river at headquarters. That's where I lived at headquarters, right across the track. There was a little house for the Baptist church where the cookhouse and everything still is, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, we lived in a little house right there. And they came and told me that Oscar got hurt. And I went, Donald came. And we just
Donald, your brother.
And we just bought a brand new Ford from Perkins. I'll tell you, things look pretty beat, I'm telling you.
And Mr. Perkins was very good to you after that accident.
Yeah, yes.
Told you not to worry about the payments.
Yeah. And anyhow, they come over there and got me. And I'll tell you, John, when I crawled in that caboose, they had to take you from there to Beaver Creek Bridge. You know where that is?
Yes.
To load him in there.
On the Grand Round River.
And put him in that ambulance. I was so numb that I couldn't even get in that thing, caboose. They just picked me up and put me in there.
Uh-huh.
And the Oscar said, well, when we get to the hospital, honey, he said, get the best doctors you can get. And he was taking care of me.
I imagine.
And it was Dr. Richardson and Dr. Branner.
Uh-huh.
They've done all the work for six months. Then, when we had to come here, well, I was up in Appleby working, and he was working. And it was kind of bleak to have a slap in the face, you know. Because we owned that little house up there. That was ours. Well, that was one thing that Bruce Moorhead did to me. Now, I shouldn't tell this, John. This is you and I personally.
Yeah.
Don't mention this.
Well, we'll...
We paid $6,500 for this house and these two lots and them two lots back there.
On Walnut Street.
And that's Alder.
What
Street.
Is Alder?
This, I'm Walnut and that's Alder.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then, this is the dirtiest, cleanest place. Honest to God, I never seen such a dirty place in my life, but I thought that's the way it goes. Wesley and Eileen went and helped Oscar once and cleaned that one at the river camp so we could live there.
Uh-huh.
I was in the hospital and they done that. So anyhow, with the man that was helping Oscar to move, they went back to get another load. And I got in and washed down this kitchen and cleaned the bathrooms so we could, you know, use them. And sitting here eating our supper and the phone rang. And there was Della Overman at the hospital up here.
Yeah.
Called and wanted to know if I'd come to work. And I said, well, gosh, we're not even settled. Well, she said, we need help badly. And Dr. Richardson was there, and he said, well, that they needed help. So I went to work there and worked for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Oscar went to work for Lynch.
Lynch Motor Company.
Yeah. But John, with his condition and being around the public, it was no good.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, he had that trouble with his leg and everything. And the public bothered him, have him looking down his neck.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
I can appreciate it.
So anyhow, he got a job then at Grain Supply. That was there in Island City.
Uh-huh.
And he worked there, and George Royce, old George, not young,
yeah,
took work in there. And he hired Oscar out under Dick Bloom.
Uh-huh.
And he went to work for Royce's. Then things got kind of bad out there, you know, the market.
Right.
So the lady bought, and he got odd at the Terry plant.
Terry Trailer.
And he worked there for about 6 years till he retired.
Uh-huh.
When he was 65, they retired yet. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it was. And after my mother died, no, I worked at the hospital. I didn't like that. I can't stand it. Mm-hmm. People dying, you know, and all this stuff. It just.
Well, I can understand that.
So anyhow, I went to work over here at the Greenwell Motel, managing that motel for them people and helping out over there, and I finished up there.
And you worked in there for how many years?
Well, until I was 65.
Uh-huh. So
anyhow.
Well, in your experiences of Le Grand, it was terrible that you had the accident, but you find that people tried to help one another at that time. Nobody had very much, and so trying to be friendly and help one another seemed to be the way of life.
Well, that happened early in the morning, this accident, and by the evening, at Grand Island Hospital was plumb full. I don't think there was only one man, John, that didn't come to see Oscar Johnson. And that was the engineer on that train, because it was his fault.
Yeah.
Jerking him off the end of that car. Mm. The reason they done that, there's another man on there, and Morita didn't want him on there. So he laid him off and put Oscar on. And you know how that is.
Yeah.
And they jerked him off the end of the car when they were switching the cars. So anyhow, this guy didn't show up, but then he had to have blood, of course.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Branner, he was such a nice man. And he come to the room where I was, and he said, well, he called me Frederica, and he said, Frederica, we're going to have blood, he said. And he said, I'll never forget this, John. He said, there's a little Negro lady out there offering to give him blood. And I said, fine and dandy. And that little woman come twice and give him blood.
Well, that's nice.
She was the nicest little woman.
You remember her name?
I thought her name was Coleman.
Uh-huh.
And then later, when I was working at the hospital, I always thought of this room, but you know, you hate to ask. Mm-hmm. But she was a patient up there, and she was just sweet as she could be.
Well, sometimes this race situation isn't as bad as some people make out.
I had awfully
They're good, nice people.
I had awfully good Indian friends, and they called them Greeks, the Swedes.
Uh-huh.
And these Negro people, I had lots of good friends.
When you were growing up, did you know much about the Chinese that were here?
Well, the only thing I knew about them is when I told you they had that camp down there below the Condit place. You remember I told you there?
Yeah.
Where them little gravel piles are along there.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I can remember there, they was awfully nice to my parents. And Mama sold them eggs and butter, and then they bought cream.
Uh-huh.
And they was always sending us kids stuff, cookies and stuff.
Well, that's nice.
They was nice people.
Did you know a Lane Montgomery up in Old Town? She would have been about your age.
I've heard of the Montgomerys, but I didn't know any of them.
Uh-huh. Well, I interviewed her recently up at Enterprise, and she's just about your age. She graduated in 1929, and she told me about how they had taken care of the Chinaman that used to sell vegetables around with the cart.
Well, I was here.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They lived up there where the Safeway store is now.
Yeah.
From the corner of...
By the old Le Grand Hotel.
Yeah, from the corner of 4th Street clear to the railroad track.
Uh-huh.
It was, on this side of the street was nothing but Chinese people.
And then those Chinese houses that were back there, on Jefferson and 4th, back of where Hanford sales and later Tamarack Ford would be.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
And it was You know how kids are, John. Curiosity kills the cat, you know. Us kids, when we'd come from school, even when I was in high school, coming from high school, instead of standing business, coming down 2nd Street, you know, and going home, we had to go down and walk down by the Chinese houses and then go over the Viaduct.
Did you ever go into China Mary's and have...
Yeah, I've eaten there many a time. I even got a little bowl from China Mary's. Right there. Gene Barnaby stole that off of China Mary's table. And we'd all been down on Saturday night, and when we got home up the camp, up the mom and pop...
It says 1920.
Well, we got up to mom and pop, and old Gene reached in his coat pocket, and he always called me the Dutchman, and he handed me this little cup. But we always became, that's where we had, we always ganged up at Carl Baum's or the noodle parlor.
Well, Carl Baum had a little beer tavern there on Depot and Jefferson.
Yeah, right on
and
the corner.
He had the best hamburgers.
Right there back of the Eagles in it.
Right there.
I'll tell you, that man could put out a sandwich.
He sure did. I remember well. Is there anything that you remember about when the Chinese had their problem and the Chinaman was shot on the post office steps?
No, I mean, I didn't know nothing about that.
You didn't
know
anything about that?
No.
That's kind of history as things go.
Well, I imagine that, but my parents was alive, they didn't know, but us kids, we didn't know nothing like that, living up there at the ranch.
Well, was it your uncle Garrett Tall, was he the one that built the swimming pool, or who?
He did.
He did.
And he had this Marjorie Condit. She was going with a guy by the name of, I can't see it, John. I can't remember, honey.
The painter that she married,
It was electrician. He done electric work and stuff like that. I didn't know that was his name. Oh, anyhow, him and Marjorie was engaged to be married, and he got electrocuted. And then they went ahead and they got the pool open, but it didn't last very long. In them days, too many government rules. State rules.
Yeah, Marjorie later married a fellow by the name of Ebert.
Carl Ebert.
Who was a painter. But I didn't know this part about...
I can't remember what that the boy's name was. Aunt Marie and Uncle Bill was living up there on 2nd Street, and he was with the city managers, Bill Condit. He was with the manager.
I remember when Bill was a commissioner.
For some of the Gosses. But other than that, I don't remember nothing only about the Chinese, only us kids that walked by there.
What happened during the war when World War II came along? Did that make an...
He was working at camp then.
At the camp.
And they drafted Oscar. And I don't think they didn't draft Leslie and Winnie. And of course, they didn't draft Lester because he was at Western Equipment. And they didn't draft Donald because he was on the railroad.
On the railroad. How long was Oscar in the service?
He wasn't in. They turned him down. They just, you know. That ain't what they call it, John. What they call it when they call you in.
Well, they...
I guess it'd be the same.
Yeah,
they called him in, but when they see me, his trip would be... rejected.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because the accident had already happened.
Yeah, they didn't take it.
Wesley went down, your brother Wesley went down for a physical. Bill Talbot went down for a physical, and it was all right until he noticed he didn't have any thumb on his left hand, and it was cut off clear that he didn't have anything to hang anything on, so they... disqualified him.
Wesley is working up there on the train and everything, and they didn't take him either.
Yeah.
Well, John, what about this guy I killed over here in Smoot's Road the other night? Who is that?
That was Wally Hansel, the barber. He has a barbershop down on Depot.
Oh.
Yeah, that was too bad.
You mean there by the Foley Building?
No, there by
Long
which,
Branch.
Right. Long Branch and then Red Cross Drugstore. Oh. Now, and you and I always knew it as the glass drug. Those things happen, and they happen so quickly, as you well know.
Well, I told the girls up at the doctor's this morning, I told them, I said, well, I just hope and pray that that man that was up there at Perry that they dumped under that railroad trestle,
uh-huh.
I hope that man comes to enough that he can tell him who done that.
Well, yes.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It's really a strange thing with all these things happening around here.
Well, just like the other night, I was home all day before because Arlen was in Montana. He got home that day, though. And that evening, I kept hearing all this.
Now, when you were a girl, what were some of the shops that you liked to shop downtown?
Woolworth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Woolworth. It was right in there close to Penny's where it
had. Yes.
Uh-huh. That was the best store we ever had. You could get most anything you wanted there. And we didn't shop much with six kids, you know.
Well, I'm sure.
No.
But
I've always shopped at Penny's.
Uh-huh.
I like Penny's myself. A lot of people don't like to shop there, but I like them. I'm always satisfied.
It's always good quality.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, for your money.
Now, if I go shopping, well, if I'm at Bi-Mark, I buy surplus there, you know, like odds and ends and stuff you need. I hardly ever go to Walmart, but that's clear out of my road.
Yeah.
And like I tell Arlen, the time you go there and you find a place to park, then you walk in there and you walk 10 miles and go back out, I'm ready to come home.
My wife finds it a little hard to, usually let her out the door.
Yeah, well.
She doesn't like to walk either.
Well, when I do, if I go out there and I park and I look for sure where I'm parked, and then when you come, you've been all with you all over to find your stuff.
Yeah.
It's a mess. And I can't see that there's a reasonable, and I think some of their stuff is junky.
Yeah, cheap.
Yeah, it's just cheap stuff.
So
And like Donna, now that's Arlen's sister, Donna Hudson, she shops there a lot. And she'd say, well, Aunt Frieda, why don't you go to Walmart? And so finally one day I just up and told her, I said, well, you know, Donna, Aunt Frieda don't buy a lot of stuff. And when I do, I want good stuff.
Do you have to buy much medicine or anything like that?
I'm medicine poor.
Where do you usually buy your medicine?
Safeway, that's cheap.
At Safeway, uh-huh.
I just went there the day before yesterday and got $68 with three little bottles. Mm. I got one bottle of cost for near $90.
Week.
Quite a bit.
Safeway's quite a bit farther now that it moved to the other end of town.
I don't like it, but I'm getting used to it.
Well.
But Arlen always comes and takes me, so it ain't bad.
Well, Arlen's your nephew, and he's good to you.
He's the only son I've ever had.
Oh, good.
He's a good little kid.
He's a good
to stay with us when he's little.
You and Lester used to take rides together.
Arlen and I was talking about that, John, the other day. Yeah, well, Sunday we went for a nice ride to Tony's and just Blue Springs through. And
uh-huh.
We kind of had a nice dinner and come home. And I said to him coming home, I said, you know, Arlen, Aunt Frieda misses Oscar. That was my husband.
Uh-huh.
But I said, I miss your dad worse. And I do, John. That sounds odd, but I do.
Well, he was
because Lester was here, just like Arlen, two or three times a day. Maybe it's 4 o'clock in the morning. We're in the pickup of going someplace, fishing or something.
Well, he was your older brother.
Yeah.
And
he didn't have much home life. Of course, you knew that.
It was nice that you could go places together.
Yeah. And Arlen, one time, when he first started coming here after his dad died, well, he started coming quite a bit because I think he knew that Lester was coming, you know, so much because he was here every day. And I'd say, well, Arlen, you don't need to do that, honey. Yes, he said, I do, Aunt Trudy. He said, I'll never forget what you and Uncle Doug for us kids.
Well, that's important. It's nice that he realizes
that. Yeah, that's what he'll say. Mm-hmm. And if we go out to eat, well, Annie tries to do her part. You know how you are. Mm-hmm. And he'll say, no, I'm in. I'm making twice as much as you're making. And he's a good boy.
Well, this has turned out to be a nice neighborhood, other than of kids sometimes, isn't it?
It's nice, but boy, we're all mad. That outfit has got that most apartments right over there. You know who they let move in?
No.
What are it all them people you see? Are they Mexicans or Cambodians?
Well, I haven't paid any attention. I'm sorry.
I was mad and I started to call the Chamber of Commerce, and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to get involved. There's two of them women, and they had six little girls going around here pumping on our doors yesterday, wanting help to buy their books. Now that's against the law, ain't it?
Going back to when you were a child, did you ever go to the circus when it come to town on the railroad?
I don't know how it come, honey, but we come.
Uh-huh.
Pop would get the team in the they called it a buggy. It wasn't a buggy. It was a two-seat thing. Uh-huh. It was like a buggy, but it was two seats.
But it was hauled by horses.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And he'd get the horses out. Grandma and Grandpa lived over here at the viaduct, and we'd be there and put the horses there in the barn. They had a barn, a cow, and everything there. And we'd go to this circus.
Uh-huh. Where was the circus at that time? Where?
Oh,
was it up on the hill? Or would they have it?
Well, John, I remember for this dim. You know where Cass's Tavern used to be?
Yeah.
On the mm-hmm. 82 out here. Back behind the tavern, out in the fields there is an Indian fort. I can remember that so plain when I was a little kid.
An Indian fort. I never heard that before.
It was a little Indian fort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you see little forts. Back, it was over in that field, and it seemed like out in that part of the towns where the circus was.
Uh-huh. I know Homer Leffel had told me that the county fair would be out where Del Monte is, off of Highway 82 out there by the railroad intersection on the other side of the underpass.
Yeah. There wasn't anything down this way because there was brush uh-huh. and the river and everything.
Yeah.
And then another thing I think is kind of interesting. It's Ella Reinierson Ranch, you know where that is.
Yes.
Bill Reinierson.
Out on the Black Hawk Trail.
Yes. There is Bill Reinierson, was married to my dad's sister, Ella.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a John Reinierson who was a bachelor, lived with them. And their place now, John, would be, if we went down here, the Safeway store, mm-hmm. the old Safeway store, what was that? That's 4th Street.
Yes.
You go over, down to 4th Street, walk across the river, I'll say. We're going to walk across the river.
Uh-huh.
And you go to Aunt Ella's house. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a swinging bridge there.
Across the river?
Across the river, a swinging bridge, so you could walk on that in the winter to come over town.
Oh, uh-huh.
And that John was on that bridge and it got to swimming. Swinging so, and he went in the river and drowned there.
Oh!
And Papa told us kids about that.
I'll be darned.
Gosh, that's years ago.
Well, they used to have that bridge across the railroad tracks there by the freight house where it went up and over the railroad main lines.
So us kids used to go there, and boy, we got our butts eat for going nowhere. We used to go down there just for fun and go in the railroad yard and then walk up over that trestle thing and go to Deepwood and come out of there.
Uh-huh.
And finally they stopped them. That isn't there anymore, is it?
No, they took it all away. But they had that there in during that time. They had the roundhouse and the rip track. And
Papa's brother-in-law worked, Uncle Wes Harrison worked on the roundhouse.
Oh, uh-huh.
He's the one that blew the whistles.
They had, were the ice cars there, the Pacific Fruit Express Company.
And my mother's sister, her name was Rochester. You probably knew Jean Rochester.
Uh-huh.
Well, his uncle, Cecil Wilson, or Bill Wilson, you remember him?
Yes, I remember Bill.
Well, and then there's a brother, Cecil Wilson. And Mama's sister, Aunt Frieda, married Cecil Wilson.
Oh.
And he, let's see if I'm getting it right, John. They had a turntable that they turned the engines around over here.
Yeah, they had 11 bays, as I recall.
Well, anyhow.
And they turned on the turntable to put them in those bays when they were working on them.
And anyhow, he got in, fell in there and drowned out.
Ooh.
In the turntable. Cecil Rainier, Cecil Wilson.
Wee.
Anyhow. But I was trying to think, that seemed me like in later years, I think they had that carnival down here about in there. Where
on Jefferson.
Yeah, there by the old Safeway store. And that's where Aunt Lena, Mama's youngest sister, met her husband.
Oh.
He's a guy from Chicago, and is traveling around, young guy, uh-huh, with this circus. And boy, the Swifels didn't like that.
Oh.
No, because you know the Swifels is better than the rest of us. And boy, they just really ticked, but Aunt Lena married him anyhow and moved to Portland. Uh-huh.
I remember your mother's sister was married to Nate Swifel.
They all, you know how families are, John. They always act like they're a little bit better than the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't hesitate to come up to my folks every weekend for big dinners. That's what Wesley and I was talking the other day here. He came and she was getting her hair done and we was talking. I said, Wesley, how in the name of God did they make a living? Six kids and we always had good clothes, plenty to eat. But we had our own butter and eggs and meat.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come and get flour and sugar and stuff like that in town. Well, you didn't need much.
Yeah. Well, it was an interesting time. We went through a depression and then growing up.
And that one we lived at Hillgard. We lived at, oh, did you know where the cemetery was at Hillgard?
No, I don't.
Like, you know, when you go clear through Hill Garden, you come to Five Points, and then Cantrell's live way up there.
Right.
Well, just before you, well, just about the last house before you start up towards Cantrell's, there's a road that takes off to the right and goes up on top
on
of that
hill.
And that's where the cemetery is.
That's where the cemetery is.
And we lived right at the bottom of the hill from that cemetery in a little house. It's still there. The schoolhouse is right next door to it.
What kind of work was your father doing when you
were? He was up at the ranch, running the ranch, milking the cows.
He more or less ranched all.
Yeah, he worked a while when we was over there at the fire dock. He worked at Bowman Fix. He wasn't too well a man, if I can remember. He was an awful little man. He wasn't as big as Arlen, just a little bitty guy. But Grandma, they had a cow, they had a cow over there, and she sold eggs and chickens, and then they had a beautiful gardens over there by a dock and flowers, lots of flowers.
I think I have a picture of her standing in the yard.
Probably.
I think that
there's a big lilac bush.
You gave me earlier that I re-photographed.
It was a beautiful thing. They called it a flourishing lilac, and it was there for a long, long time before the city took it out. And the dump used to be right where the city shops is now. That was a city dump.